I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like
on this day in 1979, Michael Jackson, "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough," number one on the Billboard. The single starting this day in 1979, old Michael Jackson. What a loss to our world. He was a great performer. But we have two interesting performers in the studio with us now. Men who know something about sports. Milton Ken joins us by phone, a lecturer in the Department of Multimedia Journalism and the School of Global Journalism and Communication at Morgan State University, freelance journalist and commentator on WYPR. I said that. And Jerry Bembry, veteran sports journalist who worked for the Baltimore Sun and ESPN and much more, co-host of Blacktop Exchange Sports Report here on WEAA every Sunday night live at 7 p.m. Good to have you both with us.
Good to be here.
Milton, you there?
Yeah, I sure am. You said the four-letter word, Mark.
I did. I don't know why, because I love you, Milton. That's why.
That's an FCC violation.
Oh, man.
it's some violation of my code, but I did it anyway. 410-319-8888. Write to us here, talk@steinershow.org. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. So the Orioles are hitting the playoffs here Friday. Right?
Against Kansas City. Yes, Friday against Kansas City.
So, and I know one of the things you said, Jerry, when we went last, you grew up with baseball. Baseball's in your blood. You love this game.
Yes, I do.
So let me start out with this and see what y'all think and see what listeners think at 410-319-8888. Someone in the Sun wrote, and I was thinking about this a lot, that Kansas City is there by a fluke and maybe the Orioles are too.
You know, I somewhat agree with that. I don't think anybody, when this season started, expected either one of these two ball clubs to be sitting on the verge of going to the World Series. And even in the middle of the season when the Orioles were playing relatively well, I was just saying something's going to happen and they're not going to make it. But I'm glad for the team. I'm glad for the city. It's the excitement level out here right now is incredible. You know, I'm a Yankee fan, and I've told you that before.
You're from New York.
I'm from New York. And but I don't hate the Orioles, though. I think Oriole fans hate the Yankees, and I'm glad for the people of the city. It's been a long time, and I would love to see a World Series here in the city of Baltimore.
Milton?
Yeah.
The fluke factor.
It's funny. The Orioles have caught, and Jerry and I have talked about this, in the hallway, in passing it. Yes, the Orioles have caught every single possible favorable break they could this year. You go back and you think about, as Jerry said at the beginning of the season, I think most people penciled the Red Sox to, if not repeat as world champions, certainly be at the top of the division. The Yankees to be right there because they always are. Tampa Bay with their pitching staff. And then Toronto slowly beefed up their lineup, and they were all supposed to be better. And most prognosticators had the Orioles in fourth or fifth. But, and as it happened, as the season developed, the Yankees lost three or four starters out of their rotation. I mean, Sabathia really never really turned out this year. The Red Sox imploded. Toronto just never rounded into form, and neither did Tampa. And, you can call some of this a fluke to a certain degree, but think about it this way. How many fluky teams can lose an all-star catcher, an all-star third baseman, and lose the first baseman who was the home run champ for the final 17 games of the regular season and still win what's arguably the toughest division in all of baseball by 12 games? That can't be too much of a fluke. So, it's six of one, half dozen of the other.
Now, I think in some ways the Orioles may be less of a fluke.
Yeah,
The Royals. But the Royals, brought – what about the thing that people talk about, the Royals bringing in these two incredible speedy guys up from the bottom, steal bases?
Yeah, I'm sitting here right now, and I got to be honest. Usually with these clubs, I can pick out – I'm a baseball fan too, lifelong baseball fan. I can usually pick out two guys on a roster, two or three guys on a team that I'm familiar with. And I can probably go through all the teams that are left in the, that were in the playoffs and pick out a couple of guys on there. I'm not even going to front here. if you bought the 25 guys from the Kansas City Royals into your studio or into the hallway and lined them up and you told me who they were, I still couldn't tell you who they are. I couldn't identify them.
Even if they had jerseys on and names in the back, huh?
Exactly. And that's not, and I'm not, you know, I mean, that's not to shun these guys, not to say that they're not, you know, I mean, they impress me, whatever you may think of them in terms of their anonymity or whatever, they impressed the heck out of me in the series against the Angels. Because I really thought that the Orioles, if the Orioles are going to have a problem in this postseason, it's either going to be with the Tigers or the Angels. And they made short order of the Angels. So that's not too much of a fluke. But to your point, I don't know who I really don't. I mean, there are a couple of guys. I'm familiar with James Shields. They have a couple of former Orioles on the roster, Bruce Chen and Jeremy Guthrie. But apart from that, I got nothing on these guys, nothing at all.
Jerry, I mean, I look at this and I watch what's happening right now with the Orioles, and we look at Showalter, right, who came close up with two other teams, and they bounced him because he didn't get all the way. It also says a lot about the impatience of people and money and sports while you bounce a guy who clearly knows how to manage a team. Because, you have to put a lot at his doorstep, don't you?
You do, and I'm just amazed that Showalter has never been to an ALCS before in his entire career. And I think the Orioles probably have a big advantage in the managerial session of this series. Look at Ned Yost. I mean, the guy's had such a career. I mean, he was fired from a team that was in first place several years ago, the Milwaukee Brewers. They were in first place with several weeks left to go in the season, and they had hit a tailspin. But, Buck Showalter will do stuff against the grain. You know, he'll put runners in scoring position to get an out. I think there was a play over the weekend in the last couple of games that he walked the guy and put the tying a winning run at the plate, but he was just confident they would turn a
right.
double play, and they did.
Right.
So, I mean, he's a great managerial mind. It was evident even before this season, but he's really helped turn the tide of this ball club and done a really tremendous job. And, he's probably going to win the Manager of the Year award for baseball this year because of the job he did with the Orioles.
I don't know how you think this plays out. I mean, this is the Detroit thing. Let me just step back for a minute. The Detroit thing. I got to get you both guys. I love baseball when it comes, especially this time of the year. I like to watch it when I'm in the stadium. I don't watch it a lot on television. I'm not a baseball fanatic. But I read enough to kind of get a sense of what's going on in this game with Detroit. And I'm curious. I mean, Detroit was a hot team. I mean, they were really on top. Why do you think the Orioles swept them in three games? I mean, I know weird things happen in ball that don't happen during the season, postseason, but why do you think the Orioles, start with Jerry, I mean, why do you think they swept them like this in three games?
You know, they started in the first three games of that season, the series, three Cy Young winners. And
right.
The Orioles just got to the bullpen. Once they got to the bullpen, I think they were there. And, Jabba Chamberlain used to pitch for the Yankees back in the day. I was a fan of his. But they destroyed that guy in the first game of the series. And, I mean, and that was it. You get to the bullpen and you have a chance. And there was so much frustration. I remember Cabrera on the bench just, you know, after they blew one lead after another, just you can sense his frustration. And he really mouthed off after the series was over. But once the Orioles got into the bullpen, I think they were golden, and that's how they won the series.
Milton?
Yeah, I would concur with Jerry that it was the bullpen. But what I think, to sort of backtrack a little bit, what the Orioles did, and they did something that I don't think they've really done a whole lot during the season. The key to getting to a bullpen is actually to drive up the pitch count of your starters. And they basically placed the Tigers in a position where unless Scherzer, Verlander, and David Price, unless they were going lights out and going straight, you know, going unless those guys were prepared to pitch eight innings, throw about 125, 130 pitches, and deliver the ball literally hand to their closer, what the Orioles did was just basically get to the meat of their bullpen by driving up the pitch counts of the starters. So they had to lift those guys earlier. So instead of going straight, you know, having your starters go seven, eight innings and then going straight to the closer, they had to go, you know, they had to go through middle relief guys, and that's it was like pouring gasoline on a fire. I want to go back for a second. You were talking about Buck Showalter and the bullpen. And this to me, really encapsulates why this guy is Manager of the Year. It's subtle, but it tells you just how smart this guy is. People will talk about the scenario that Jerry was talking about in the closing game where he elected to pitch, to walk the winning run, put the winning run on at first in the ninth inning. But to me, a big key in this series was go back to game one. The Orioles bring in Zach Britton, their closer, in the eighth inning to pick up what we would call – normally the closer comes in just to pitch the ninth inning, get three outs, and we all go home happy. Instead, Buck brings him in the eighth inning with two out to try to get a four-out save. The Orioles, at the bottom of the inning, scored seven runs, I believe. Yeah, I believe it was seven runs in that inning. So what does Buck do? He brings in Tommy Hunter for the ninth. That way he has Britton available to pitch the next day. If Britton comes in and gets the save, he would have qualified for the save, but you would have lost him for the next day, right? So instead, he realizes, hey, Britton only threw maybe five or six pitches. I can bring him back tomorrow to pitch in the eighth inning. And the Orioles break through in the eighth inning against the Tigers. He comes in the ninth, shuts them down. They're up 2-0. So it's subtle stuff like that. It's the maturity of a guy. Here's a guy, Buck Showalter, who got fired
right.
in 95, and the Yankees win the World Series the next year. He gets fired in 99 with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks win the series the next year. So what it tells you is this guy has matured not only as a baseball manager, but as a man. He recognized that I can't do things the way I did before. So my sense is that his clubhouse is now much more relaxed than it was when he was with the Yankees or with the Diamondbacks. Some of the silly rules that he had about how high socks had to be and helmets, wearing your helmet in certain places. I think he's kind of, look at how relaxed Adam Jones is. Do you think Buck Showalter in 1996 would have put up with that? Of course not. But he recognizes that I get maximum value out of a guy as long as the guy's doing his job and performing to the level that I need him to perform to, the guy can go, he can dress practically naked, and I don't care.
Let's hope we don't see that.
Baseball after dark,
See, were you guys shocked when you saw what happened with Chris Davis?
In terms of the suspension?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I mean, that's very disappointing that a guy could get, you can talk about baseball's rules. I mean, he thought, his explanation is that he had gotten a clearance before to use the drug Adderall because he has attention deficit disorder. He said he had gotten a clearance before, but he hadn't bothered to get it this year because he thought he was going to be turned down. But he took the drug anyway, which does not make sense to me. I would be stunned. I'd be stunned, actually, if he plays again this year. They might bring him back for the World Series if they get that far because you'll need an extra bat in the National League ballparks. But he's not going to play. He won't play in this series. The earliest he could come back in this series is game six.
Right, right.
And they haven't put him on the roster for this series. He's not going to play at all in this series, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if he does come back, does he mess up the chemistry of what's going on right now? And that's something that a manager has to make a decision about, because having him in a roster takes away a batch from someone else, and it could be problematic. I mean, the Orioles are in a nice little role right now, and you don't want to mess things up at all.
So what are you guys predicting going to happen here? You can't really predict, but what do you think is happening here? What's going to happen in this series of Kansas City Royals? I do think Kansas City beating Angels in some ways was a real fluke. I mean, I just think it was just – things happen in sports where all of a sudden the best of anybody, best at any, the best of, best player anywhere, the best team can kind of fall apart for a minute. It just happens. I don't know if you think that's what happened in the series, but it just seems to be really strange that the Royals are here. How do you think it's going to play out, Jerry?
I don't think there's an overwhelming favorite, to be honest. I don't think there's a really true. You look at the injuries and Chris Davis being out of lineup, and Orioles. I mean, they don't have what you would call just a really true superstar. And
the Orioles don't.
I think it's a toss-up, and I think the fact that the Orioles have home field advantage might be to their benefit. I mean, the fans, I'm sure, are going to be crazy out there at the stadium tomorrow, and I just wish I had a ticket. I would love to be a part of that excitement.
How come we don't have tickets?
I don't know. Mark, you have the pull around here.
You got the juice, Mark.
But there's going to be a great enthusiasm there. And again, like I said earlier, I'm just happy for the fans. You know, I hear the enthusiasm with Milton. We were in the office, I think, last Friday when that game was going back and forth, and Milton's walking down the hall, you know, what's going on? And so for the Oriole fans, I'm just really, really happy that their team has made it this far. And hopefully we can see a World Series in this town.
But here's what I understand then. I mean, both of you guys are sports journalists and have been doing it for a long time, and seasoned journalists, you both are. You're both teaching here at Morgan State University during the playoffs. So why don't you have the game on while you're teaching so the students can write about it?
Well, let me say something. Because I did walk by Milton's class last week. And lo and behold, on the big screen, the class was watching the game. And I got a little update when I walked by. But I think Milton was caught between classes later on. And he was walking. And he was busy. You know, when we're at Morgan State, we don't have any down hours here in terms of teaching. We are busy 24/7. So Milton was busy during the course of that game. And I was trying to give him updates as best as I could.
Don't worry, Jerry. Dwayne Wickham's not here. I think he's out of radio range. So. But it's okay. It's okay. Here's the interesting thing, though, Mark, to sort of to punctuate Jerry's point. So Friday afternoon, I'm teaching them my sports writing class. Their next big assignment is to write a game story, right, for next week. So I'm walking them through the process of how to write a game story, how to write the lead, and so forth. So we got through that relatively early. So I said, all right, let's watch baseball. So I put it up on the screen. My hand to God, maybe five minutes after I put the game on, this is about 1:20, 5 minutes after I put the game on, one of the young ladies in the class literally put her head down on the desk and went to sleep. I don't know, you know, this is part of maybe a larger, you know, and the rant's not the right word, but baseball really does have a problem in that regard. But people who watch and love baseball, people like Jerry, yourself, and me, we're there because it's a part of our, it's ingrained in our childhood. But for this generation, my students, I get the feeling that if the Orioles played this game outside of the communications building, these students would not only like drop the curtain, but they would drop the curtain and not watch, but they would call the cops and arrest them for disturbing the peace. they're just so turned off by the idea of baseball. I have a Nigerian kid in my class. I'm trying to explain to him. I put a diamond up on the, you know, above the screen to explain where the positions were, and he looked like sort of interested. But in the long run, it was like, what are you trying? Like, you're taking money out of my pocket? Why are you making me watch this?
So, we talked about it the last time we had the show about baseball, Jerry. There is a kind of a dearth of enthusiasm, to say the least.
Yeah, I agree, and baseball has lost a lot of its edge to football and to some degree basketball, but especially football. I mean, football is the sport right now, and I just remember the last time that the Orioles and the Royals were dominant teams. That was probably between 79 and 85, where they were both teams were in the playoffs consistently during that era. I mean, that was the sport, and everybody wanted to go and watch the American League Championship game. And, you know, I remember rushing to the TV and watching it, and it just – there is a big disconnect there. And football wasn't at that realm that they are right now. So I don't know where baseball dropped the ball, and I think it's going to be very difficult for them to rebound and become America's sport again. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm curious, this is going to be a baseball question here, because we've been talking about Buck Showalter. I'm going to go back to the kind of importance of coaching in this game and what all that means. And I was reading some stuff, and again, I don't have the nuanced understanding of the two of you do have about baseball, but it seems like Buck Showalter in many ways does things you don't have people expect to do. Like when he ordered the closer, what's his name, Zach Britton?
Yeah.
To intentionally walk a potential winning run coming in, and how he played that, how he coached that. People thought he was crazy. I mean, he does that a lot.
Baseball, more than probably any of the other sports, is a game of hunches. You really can't measure stuff. I mean, you know, for instance, you know, in football, you know, you get a, you know, everything's done by numbers. Same thing to a certain degree with basketball. You get the lineups on the field that do, you know, on the court that match up best. But in baseball, it really is a hunch. I mean, there are moments, and, you know, part of the reason I think baseball doesn't have the appeal to, you know, maybe to the younger crowd today is that, unlike, say, for instance, you know, football or basketball, you know that for the most part, you know, in a football game, the 2-minute warning, you know, things are going to, the play speeds up in the 2-minute warning. The fourth quarter is almost always exciting in a football game. Same thing in basketball. You know, the last 2 minutes of a basketball game, very exciting. There's no, you can't point to that moment in a baseball game, right? I mean, the big rallies could come in the first inning, could come in the ninth inning, anywhere or anywhere in between. So it's hard to say to somebody, okay, here's a key moment. Here's a key moment before it happens because it just happens. And you have to be, I think, mature enough as a fan or a lover of sports to wait for that moment and savor the moment as it happens. But see, yeah, Buck's just, he's just, I that's the thing that I marvel at is that he just plays, he's developed this sense of hunches, and he just knows, okay, yeah, today's the day I want to put Delmon Young in the lineup. Now, you know, you played Michael Jackson at the top of this segment. Delmon Young and Michael Jackson have one thing in common.
What's
they
that?
They both wear gloves for no apparent reason. I mean, this guy, Delmon Young couldn't catch a cold. in the eighth inning of game two, who's the guy at the plate who clears the bases with a bases loaded double?
Milton, I just want to say, Milton, you mentioned Michael Jackson, and what you didn't get over the radio was Mark in here dancing in the studio. Is this being televised? Do we tape these shows yet? I would love for,
they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I know. This camera here. I would love for that tape to get out on the web. You know, you have to be really careful, Mark, about what you do in the studio these days.
Was it that bad, man?
No. It was. Mark was actually getting down here. You know, I was impressed.
I should have been in the studio. Yeah.
Absolutely. I walked in the studio. Mark's doing his thing. I thought he was going to moonwalk in for a moment.
Please tell me he didn't have, like, the sleeveless vest.
No, he didn't have that on.
No, man. No.
Okay, all right.
Nor did I have any plastic surgery. I earn these wrinkles. They belong to me. So,
I've heard about your Studio 54 days, though, Marcus.
Are we talking about baseball here? Good Lord, have mercy. So, any bets?
Predictions, I'm not a betting man, but
smart man.
If I were to go and put a non-monetary wager on it, I would say the Orioles in six games.
Boy, I would say about the same. I'll just say this. I think the two keys to me to this series, one, and it's a carryover from the Detroit series, how do the Orioles score runs if they don't hit homers? They led the majors in home runs this year. Kansas City was dead last. How do the Orioles score runs if they don't hit homers? And the second question is the bullpens. Which club can turn this game can turn these games into basically six-inning games? Maybe the opposite would be true. Maybe the question is the starting rotations. Because the two teams have dynamic bullpens. The one thing about the Royals is they've got three guys. Their three guys who will probably pitch the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings are as good as they are in baseball. So, their closer's named Greg Holland. Remarkable. You know, he's a terrific pitcher.
So we have one caller that just called in.
Yeah, sure.
One last thought from baseball caller before we go on to our next segment. 410-319. That's all right, man. Francis, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I think the biggest thing that baseball is not being interested with young people is because there's no violence in it. I'm 64 years old, and everything that's violent, the kids are a part of, and I think baseball is nonviolent.
For the most part, that's true.
On a broader sense, yeah. When I was showing them showing my students the game, I was also telling them, you know, this is the game. I always say, next to Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson was the second most important figure, African-American figure of the 20th century. this, you know, it was through baseball and things like that that African Americans were, to some degree, socialized, brought into the broader American culture. And the idea that our kids, black kids, don't make the connection between how great baseball, the hold that baseball has had over the black community, that they don't get that connection is just, it's sad.
And in the black community as well, it's really kind of, you can see it, but in communities across the nation, baseball is just not where it was. Closing comment, Jerry, before we have to roll out of here, what are they saying to me now?
They're saying you have to wrap up, Mark.
Is that what they're saying?
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
As a radio man, he knows it's time to wrap up.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. So, the baseball, so they, tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Kansas City and the Orioles, game number one. At 8 p.m. tomorrow night. It'll be broadcast on TV, right?
Yes, it will.
It's on television. All right. I don't know, man.
Everything's on TV these days. Everything.
Right, that's where it is. Jerry Bembry, co-host of Blacktop Exchange Sports Report here on WEAA, and both veteran journalists here, Milton Kent and Jerry Bembry, both teaching here at the School of Journalism, and they're great sports journalists. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure, Mark.
Take care. We'll be talking sports again soon. You can, of course, hear Jay Bembry this Sunday night. I'm sure they'll be talking some baseball on Sunday night as well as other things. We're going to go to break here, come back, and we can still stay in the arena of sports and fitness. It's time for Chauncey Whitehead and our weekly look, our monthly look at fitness. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ego trip, mercy.